The hula hoop is on fire, literally. The popularity of hooping has soared in recent years, transforming it from a groovy toy to pyrotechnic performance art. As Arizona Public Radio's Jillian Ferris Cole reports, almost 60 years after its commercial invention, the hula hoop is spinning into new territory.
Aztec Street has a reputation as being one of the best places in Flagstaff, Arizona, to trick-or-treat on Halloween. People go all out, burning cauldron fires in their driveways, walking on neon stilts, and turning backyards into trails of terror. But this past Halloween, none of the costumed kids or their parents were expecting to see a fire hula-hooping performance in the middle of Aztec Street. 27-year-old Kaylee Smith spins a blazing hoop of fire around her waist, arms, and neck. Her audience watches in awe from a safe distance.
Are you guys having a good Halloween?
Yeah!
Better now than I saw someone hula-hooping fire.
She got moved.
Smith is no amateur. She's a performer with the local circus troupe, Circus Bacchus. She says safety is key when it comes to fire hooping, right down to the clothes on your body, which tonight, for Smith, consists of a black leotard and silver lamé tights.
When you first start fire performing, you start researching what fabrics are good for you, making sure that they don't melt to your skin. That's a good one. And it's not just a fun thing that you're doing while you're drunk at a party.
But it used to be, kind of.
It's the new shoop shoop hula hoop with a sound inside.
Oh, it's a shoop shoop hoop.
The first commercial hula hoop was marketed by the Wham-O Company in 1957. It was advertised as a fun activity to do at the beach or at a party, and it was an instant success. It was also instantly unclear whether the hula hoop was just a toy or an actual form of exercise or even sport. That question came up in 1958 when Wham-O co-inventor Arthur Spud Meilin appeared on the game show What's My Line, where celebrity guests tried to figure out what contestants did for a living.
Mr. Meilin is self-employed, and let's begin the general questioning with Arlene Francis.
Well, Mr. Meilin, you look like quite a strong young man. Do you have anything to do with the world of sport?
Yes. I would say this, but I think Spud is being too generous that the
affirmative... He has a different idea of sports than you...
No, the affirmative answer there would be misleading in the extreme, and beside, we want to flip a card, so I'll change it to no. One down and nine to go.
But it turns out it was more sport than toy. In the 1970s, while kids across America began losing interest in the plastic hoop, it was slowly working its way into elite sports. In 1984, a high-tech version of the original hula hoop made its Olympic debut in Los Angeles in the rhythmic gymnastics competition.
Slowly and consistently all the way up.
And even more recently, it's become a popular and ultra-hip fitness class.
Let's get up on our toes, just because I think it looks very deep.
On this Saturday morning, a group of spandex-clad students gather at a studio in downtown Flagstaff for a hula-hooping class. 31-year-old Melissa Cashaley is one of them.
When you really get into hoop, it's not so much about the hips anymore as it is all the way from your toes to your fingertips.
Cashaley became interested in hooping after obsessively watching YouTube videos of dramatic hula hoop tricks. She was bored with her regular exercise routine and decided to give hooping a spin.
You learn a kind of muscle control that you didn't know you had before.
But of all the toys that had at least some element of athleticism, the pogo stick, ping pong, why did the hula hoop make it into the modern world of exercise?
This generation is all about working out and having fun, too. They're a very social generation.
That's Marlene Hockman, founder and director of the Toy Museum of New York. But in her palace of toys, she's known as Queen Marlene.
Back in the day, you played with your jacks, you had a frisbee, you had pickup sticks and a hula hoop, and it was not an exercise piece of equipment at all. But today, as a revival toy, you get instant gratification. It does something.
Paul Blair gets more gratification from the hula hoop than most people. He is a professional hooper and goes by the stage name Dizzy Hips.
We're going to start out the show. My name's Dizzy Hips. Man.
Dizzy Hips, 44, makes a living on international TV shows and at county fairs, hooping everything from small children to giant tractor tires. He also holds the Guinness World Record for spinning the most hoops at once, 136. Dizzy Hips says he hardly does anything without a hula hoop involved.
I can do, like,
pretty much every sport while hooping. Play football, throw, catch, play tennis. I play tennis while hooping and roller skating. Skiing, snowboarding, swimming, every sport while hula hooping.
Dizzy Hips says there's somewhat of a glass ceiling for male hoopers, since according to his calculations, 99.999% of all hoopers are women. And that, he says, is the kind of job security he likes. For Only a Game, I'm Jillian Ferris-Cole in Flagstaff.
Do you hula? If so, please share your favorite hula hooping stories on Facebook.com/OnlyAGameRadio.
Hula hoop, hula hoop. Everyone is playing with the hula hoop. Look at them spin, trying to win. Anyone can play from 3 to 110.
You're listening to Only a Game.